We've been diving into 1 Peter, looking at the idea that you and I are travelers. And when you and I settle in on that idea that we're traveling through life, we come to the conclusion often, where is God taking me? Why is God taking me? Why is it so difficult at times? Or why can't I seem to make any traction? In 1 Peter, we've talked about the fact that following Christ is a painful pleasure. There are moments and lots of moments where it's difficult, and some of that is because we are traveling through the world. This isn't our home. And sometimes we live like this is our home, and rather than seeing that we are, in a sense, just renters, God has entrusted us to a time on the planet, and he holds us responsible, but this isn't our ultimate home. And so we saw that, and we also saw last week that the past and the future change the present. The way we see the past, the way we see the past personally, the way we see the past scripturally in God's story, and the way we see the future personally, and the way we see God's fingerprints on what is coming in the future through Scripture. All of that informs and changes our interaction with today. And this morning, as we look at a few more verses, we're going to see that we're to be different. And what does that mean? What does it really mean to be different? And when I think of difference, I sometimes, oh, that's different. Oh, that's a different haircut. That's odd, not positive. And then sometimes it's positive. So as we, those of us who are Christ followers, those of us who are kicking the tires to see what this whole thing about faith is all about, you're going to see that as a Christ follower, if this world is not our home, the way we interact with it is in a different way. And as I was thinking about illustrating differences, I couldn't help but think of this movie. I really didn't like this movie. Some people really, really thought this movie was great, like spoke volumes to the human condition.
What are you
going to
do today, Napoleon?
Whatever I feel like I want to do. God.
How was school?
Oh, yeah. Worst day of my life. What do you think?
Napoleon, this is Pedro.
What kind of bike do you have?
It's a sledgehammer.
Dang. You ever take it off any sweet jumps?
What are you drawing?
A liger.
What's a liger?
It's pretty much my favorite animal.
So sweaty.
I've been practicing some dance moves.
La Fonda is the best thing that has ever happened to me. Napoleon, I'm sure there's a babe out there for you too. Peace out.
Now, there is a different guy. Do a little survey. How many, loved that movie? A few of you did. A few of you did. And a few of you are chicken to say that you love that movie. I absolutely did not care for that movie. I had to watch it back in 2004 to see what everybody was raving about. Napoleon Dynamite. It is, yeah, it's, anyway, it's supposedly a classic and a big deal. Was done in 2004, but I never want to see it again. But anyway, but there's definitely that guy is different. So when we see in Scripture that we're called to be different, What is different really mean? Are we supposed to be awed because we don't fit in? If we're just traveling through as Christ followers, are we to be weird Jesus followers? When we leave a room at work or business or neighborhood party or whatever, we kind of leave. Everyone kind of maybe doesn't say it out loud. They go, oh, there goes that weird guy. They're religious. Are we supposed to be like that? That reminds me of this clip from Seinfeld.
Be careful of the car, Ben.
Yeah.
Don't move the seat. I've got to ride where I like it.
Goodbye.
2 and 10, Ben.
Okay.
Don't peel out.
I won't. One, I borrowed Putty's car, and all the presets on his radio were Christian rock stations.
I like Christian rock. It's very positive. It's not like those real musicians who think they're so cool and hip.
So, you think that Putty actually believes in something?
It's a used car. He probably never changed the presets.
Yes, he is lazy.
Plus, he probably doesn't even know how to program the buttons.
Yes, he is dumb.
So you prefer dumb and lazy to religious?
Dumb and lazy, I understand. Hello, boys.
Hey, so did you get that radio the old switcheroo?
I did.
Mm-hmm. And the Christian rock?
Resurrected. And look what I pried off of his bumper, a Jesus fish.
So you're disappointed he's a spiritual person?
Well, yeah, I got him because he seems so one-dimensional. I feel misled.
I think it's neat. You don't hear that much about God anymore.
Do you believe in God?
Yes.
Oh, so you're pretty religious.
I try.
So is it a problem that I'm not really religious?
Not for me.
Why not?
I'm not the one going to hell.
I'm going to hell.
That seems about right.
According to Putty.
What do you care? You don't believe in hell.
I know, but he does.
So it's more of a relationship problem than the final destination of your soul.
Well, relationships are very important to me. Hmm. You should be trying to save me.
Don't boss me. This is why you're going to hell.
I am not going to hell. And if you think I'm going to hell, you should care that I'm going to hell, even though I am not.
You stole my Jesus fish, didn't you?
Yeah.
A lot of things going on. We could spend a whole time about our friends in our lives if they really knew how serious we were about heaven and hell, and we've never brought it up to them. What does that say about us? Would they have that same kind of response? But again, it seems like she considers him a little odd. And all of us have an odd meter, a different meter, a weird meter when it comes to expressing our faith. But what we got to determine is that we're not giving more weirdness, oddness, differentness than is needed to be. Sometimes as Christians, we can be downright confusing, difficult, and self-righteous and all those kinds of things. And we want to keep that far from us. We want to make sure where our difference comes through is in the essentials. And we're going to see that Peter talks a little bit about that idea when it comes to being different. He actually uses the word holy. And holy and different are very similar words. God is holy unto himself. God is different unto himself. There's no one else like him. He is different. He blows your mind different. And then we're going to see in this passage, we are called to be holy. We are called to be different because we are traveling through. We're travelers in this world. This is not our home, so we should have different habits and different ways of doing life that are distinctive because we're following Christ. But then again, we've got to watch that fine line. There are some weird things, and I am always blows my mind. I'm not going to give a lot of examples. We don't have a lot of time. But how sometimes someone who is not following Christ has preconceived ideas of what a Christ follower should do, shouldn't do, say. A lot of times it's on target, and they'll bring it up to us. Or they can bring up some really unusual practices that a Christ follower has that really has nothing to do with following Christ, but they've tagged it to that. Sometimes it's their own thing, but many times it's that Christ follower has added that to being a Christ follower, and it has really nothing to do with it. So we should be weird for Jesus in the essentials, different for Jesus in the essentials, but the non-essentials we shouldn't be. And we need to walk close enough to the Lord that we know the difference, that you know the difference in your life, and that you don't get hung up when someone has come up to maybe a little different place to land. But we're supposed to be different because we're just traveling through. My mother loves to tell the story, and it's fresh on my mind, that they were visiting a home in Germany, and they were the guest of honor. So when it was time to bring out the main course of the meal, they brought out a complete fish with its head. And because she was the guest of honor, she was supposed to cut the head off. She really didn't enjoy that process. I think she somehow got out from under doing it. But the idea was that was different. That's what they do in that culture. And so again, different, yes, we're traveling through, but not unnecessarily different. Different in the essentials. So let's read through 1 Peter. We're going to read it in the message, and then we come back to unpack it. We're going to look at it in other translations. So roll up your sleeves, put your mind in gear, be totally ready to receive the gift that's coming when Jesus arrives. That's speaking of hope, the hope when Jesus arrives. Then you will be in the process of going home. That's why when someone passes away, we say, oh, they've gone home to be with the Lord. They're finally home. Their traveling is over. Don't lazily slip back into those old grooves of evil, doing just what you feel like doing. You didn't know any better than you do now. Someone was talking to me this week about getting me a T-shirt that says, educated beyond your level of obedience. I like to say that. I heard that somewhere along the line. And you know better, and we're educated as Christ falls beyond our level of obedience. Unpack that last little vignette from Seinfeld. There's a lot of things going on that shouldn't be going on for that Christ follower. They're educated beyond their level of obedience. Where in your life, right now, right in this moment, do you know what's right, but your obedience is lacking? Every one of us has a place like that, because none of us have arrived. And God reveals those slowly so we can absorb them, they can work them out, we can incorporate them into our life. But this idea of you didn't know any better then, you do now. As obedient children, do I think of myself as a child when it comes to God? Or do I think like a peer, like a grown-up adult? You know, it's a little different. Our kids now are adults and starting to have their own families and all this kind of stuff. They're married and they're making their own decisions. And, you know, it's right. There are some areas where we're like peers. That doesn't happen with your relationship with God. He's your friend, but he's God, but you're still an obedient child. When that 160 years of experience of life is up here, they're still children in God's eyes. And that should be something you'd be happy about it. Because all the tender care of a parent comes with that. As obedient children, let yourself be pulled into the way of life shaped by God's life. A life energetic and blazing with holiness. That's being different, separate to his ways. God said, I am holy, you be holy. Be different. Again, I'm going to say this over and over, not unnecessarily different. Don't let your preferences dictate what you say is holy and what is not holy. You got to know Scripture well enough to know what is a preference and what is absolute truth. And as other series we've talked about, there can be a gray area in there too. But there are some things that are crystal, crystal, crystal clear. And they should be obvious to us. And they're part of the holy life, the life separate unto God. And a life separate unto God isn't a boring life. It isn't a I can't do stuff life and I have to do stuff in life. No, it's a freedom. That's why we sing that song, Amazing Grace, and we sing that rendition, My Chains Are Broken. Our chains are broken. You call out to God for help and he helps. Amazing. Amazing. Over the years, sometimes I've gotten my doctor's personal cell phone number. And in that case, I use it sparingly. But the fact that I can call my doctor wherever he is and wherever his cell phone is a wonderful, reassuring thing. They've said, if something's not going, you just call me. Cut through all the red tape. You can do that anytime, any moment with your Heavenly Father. Your children, and you can call him anytime. You have his direct number. He's a good father that way, but don't forget he's also a responsible father and won't let you get by with sloppy living. Yikes. Yikes, yikes, yikes. Because at least once last week, my living was sloppy. And he noticed, even though everybody around me didn't notice. I pulled it off, and it wasn't a big thing. It was just a little sloppiness. And it's not that God's looking to slam you down. He wants to be a good father. He wants to discipline you. He wants you to grow into the person that he knows you can be. So sloppy living, careless living, unthinking living is out for the Christ follower, not a part of what we're supposed to be doing. Your life is a journey. You must travel with a deep consciousness of God. Be aware of God. It costs God plenty to get you out of that dead-end, empty-headed life you grew up in. He paid with Christ's sacred blood, you know. He died like an unblemished sacrificial lamb. Communion, we remember that. Do you really think about Jesus dying for us? Only watched it once, and I'm due to watch it again. It's not theologically correct in a lot of places, but it definitely has the emotion. I need to watch The Passion again. Remember seeing that movie and getting just a glimpse of what it was like for our Savior to die on the cross. I need to feel that. I purposely didn't buy that movie because I didn't want to watch it often. I don't even think if I owned it, I'd watch it that often because it's so moving and disturbing and real in places. But it reminds me of the sacrifice that Jesus did for me. That's sombering. Hopefully that jars my attention from time to time. And this was no afterthought. Even though it has only lately, at the end of the age, become public knowledge, God always knew he was going to do this for you. It because of the sacrificed Messiah whom God raised from the dead and glorified that you trust God, that you know you have a future in God. That is unbelievable. Everyone who says yes to Jesus has really placed their trust, their belief, is born again, has that change of life, has a future in God that they can absolutely trust. If you haven't said yes to Christ yet, you know a lot in your head, but it hasn't made its way into following him, man, do it. Do it now. Not just because, you know, life is unexpected, but why go one more hour without God in your life, actively leading you, being your father? Why would you put that off? Sometimes you see stories about children getting adopted, and later children, you know, they're 13 or 14, get adopted, and they cannot wait to get adopted. When that's in motion, they don't say, oh, maybe tomorrow, maybe the next day. They want it now, and they want all the benefits of being a part of the family and having a dad, in their case, a dad and a mom. And as a person thinking about God, you should not want to go a day, an hour, without having that. And those of us who have said yes to Christ, we shouldn't want to go a day or hour without accessing the fact that we have a heavenly Father, that he's ours. Now that you've cleaned up your lives by following the truth, love one another as if your life depends on it. It's interesting that Peter throws this in right away. He could say, you know, do this, don't do this, do that, don't do this. But he throws it in, you know, follow God, trust God, love God. But then, like the great commandment says, love others. Love one another as if your life depends on it. Isn't it beautiful that our actions don't earn our salvation, don't earn our relationship with God? But because of that, many of us are sloppy and are not concerned and are not aware. When I think something's not right on a piece of equipment at the house, I'm very aware. I watch it. I'm aware. I just don't let it go. And because that's not the case with our relationship with God, I can be sloppy with it. I can be unengaged because I know I have it. I know it's a card in my pocket that I cannot lose. But with that comes the danger of living in contempt. Because we have this, we can depend on it. We have it, we can depend on it, but we don't always live like we depend on it. And it's not doing things with God, it's doing things with others. It's relational. Relations express our relationship with God. Your new life is not like your old life. Your old life came from mortal sperm. Your new life comes from God's living word. Just think, a life conceived by God himself. That's why the prophet said the old life is a grass life. It's beauty as short-lived as wildflowers. Grass dries up, flowers droop. God's word goes on and on forever. This is the word that conceived new life in you. So very quickly this morning, we're going to hit a couple things. Because of all this, because of verse 13, we ought to think different and then travel different. It starts with the way you think, and then it works its way into your heart. You know the truth, you think the truth, and then you let your emotions catch up with you. So think, we've got these words, we've got these ideas of being alert, fully somber. You see, they're circled on the screen. Fully somber, your hope. Continue on. The next one, hope, and the following one, grace. All these ideas, and you can circle them in your notes. Jesus Christ is revealed. All these, because of that, because you think that way, because that's baked into your way you look at your world, you ought to travel different. I ought to travel. The world has, I have different attractions or attachments to the world. My attachments are in relationships, seeing other people experience Christ, grow in Christ, become Christians, because I want Jesus Christ revealed in their life, because someday he's coming back. And so I think differently. I travel differently. In Romans, a very familiar passage says, do not change yourself to be like the people of this world. That's the culture. But let God change you inside with a new way of thinking. Then you'll be able to understand and accept what God wants for you. You'll be able to know what is good and pleasing to him and what is perfect. How many times do I have people come to me and say, I want to know God's will in this area? The answer is right there. Not read this verse once, it's live this way, think this way, and then travel this way. You'll be able to know what is good and pleasing to him. You know, I like to, even in this day, know what is good and is pleasing to my dad. I like to please my dad. It's built into me. I like to get a that a boy every once in a while. I have the benefit of having him around. I also sometimes get the opposite of a that-a-boy, but I still like the that-a-boys, and I like that. I like the way that touches my heart, and so much more when it comes to my Heavenly Father. I want to know that I'm pleasing him and that he's happy with me. Same thing with our walk with God. 1 John 2:15 says, don't love the world's ways, the culture in its ultimate expression. Don't love the world's goods. The love of the world squeezes out love for the Father. We live in this tension. And we want to make sure that God is our life, not just first in our life, is our life. And then all the things about the culture will be great. All the things that we can enjoy are fine, but we want God first. You see, following Jesus starts with a change of mind, not a change of heart. You need to think it. If you're just riding on your emotions, it's going to go up and down, up and down. You need to get your thoughts in your mind into your heart. Your heart catches up with your mind. So we live different and we travel different. So we think, the thinking affects our living. We've already talked about being obedient because we want to be obedient to God. We travel different. We live different. We do what he would have us to do. And it's not a burden. It's out of joy. We like him seeing us do a good job the way he would like us to do. So again, we're living different. We're living holy lives. We work hard, again, at being different in the essentials, but not being weird. Not taking things that are preferences and putting them to the top. We live different. We travel different. The way we interact with holidays and things like that, some of us can get really worked up that, you know, we can see that there's not a total Christian base in a holiday, but you can use it to point Christ, and we plant our flag and put it in the ground on that, and it's just crazy. We don't need to do that. Be weird on the important things, not the unimportant things. I remember, and I've told you this story years ago, we had a family that were new Christians. And they were coming to the church, and they noticed that our Christmas decorations were under par. You know, they were the Christmas trees we had had for like 50,000 years. You know, they were just, and they had some finances, and they decided to go through and replace all the trees. I mean, $100 trees, expensive trees, nice trees, beautiful trees. And they made the mistake, because they hadn't been in Christian world long enough to get Santa Clauses to put on the top of the tree. Now, we know Christmas is not about Santa Claus. They didn't know that that was just not cool in a church. People came unglued. I was like, you ought to come unglued about other things. Yes, if they had asked me, I would have said, get a star. Don't get a Santa. But the fact that it's up there, I can live with it, because you know what it tells me? There are people traveling in our church who are coming to Christ, and they don't know all the important rules and all the unimportant rules. So that is a great thing. If you're new to the church and you don't know, am I supposed to do this? Am I supposed to do this? Or you don't know the lingo and all that kind of stuff, I celebrate that. Your leadership team celebrates that. The church family celebrates that. Don't think we're going to put you down because you got it wrong because you bought a Santa Claus to go on top of a tree. Give me a break. They had no problem with gossiping. Put Santa Clauses everywhere if we would stop gossiping. Right? What's important? Moving along. Holiness is more about behavior than our belief. Your behavior. Your behavior matters. Your actions matter. You can tell me your beliefs day and night, and if it doesn't show up in your behavior, doesn't really matter too much to me what you believe. And if you've grown up in church world, you have a lot of good, solid beliefs. It's getting your behavior to catch up with them. Take the beam out of your own eye before you take the splinter out of somebody else's. I'd even say take the beam out of your own eye before you take a beam out of somebody else. I'd even say take the splinter, the little thing out of your eye before you take the big thing out of somebody else's life. I mean, that should be the order. I should worry about my own sin in my own life. And if I have just a little bit in my mind and this person has a lot, how dare I not deal with a little bit of my own life and go after the big? Because you know what it does? At least for me, it makes me feel good. It makes me feel, oh, I just have a little sin. They got big sin. I'm pretty good. They're not so good. God, I'm the good guy. They're not the good. You know, and you don't fake him out with any of that stuff. So holiness is more about behavior than belief. See different, travel different. For you know that it was not with perishable things as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. Do you see what's really important? Do you take inventory of your life? Do you see the things in your life that kind of were the culture of your family? And it's not to pick on your family, but kind of carried on. I can remember things like, I'll never say that to my kids, and now I'm saying it to my kids, right? My dad loved to say, knock it off. And then I like to say, knock it off, you know, like that was the magic peacemaking statement in home, and it didn't always work. So see different, travel different. See those kinds of things. Don't get down on it. Go, hey, I see some area that's an area of opportunity so I can live a different way in the right sense of difference, which will point to Christ. So I see differently. I see life. I see what's important, what isn't important. We see what Christ has done in our life. We see our sins. We see that he died for us. And because of that, we actually travel differently. There's also some, we should feel bad a little bit about what Jesus had to do to redeem us. There should be some loyalty because of that. Have you ever done something nice for somebody and they stab you in the back or they let you down or whatever, and you go, where is loyalty? Where is loyalty? It kind of bugs you. Sometimes it doesn't happen often, but sometimes, you know, as a pastor, the people you help the most are the people that leave the first, are the people that there's no loyalty there. I'm like, how could you, especially sometimes, you know, we help a family out financially and there's no staying power. I would think if I got those kinds of help, you would own me in a sense, and that's not why we do it, but where is that? But where is that in your relationship with God? You owe him. You owe him big time. And even if from this moment on, every quote-unquote payment of owing him made life not that great, you still owe him. It would be worth the payments, wouldn't it? Worth the inconvenience, worth whatever, worth to be separate. You see, you need to remember who owns you and what was paid for you. You've got to remember that. Because of being different, because of this holiness that changes your actions, you love different and then you travel different. Now that you have cleaned up your lives by following the truth, love one another as if your lives depend on it. Love differently. Go the extra mile. Doesn't mean being a doormat. Remember, it doesn't enabling someone, but you got to figure that out. Sometimes I cut someone loose way before I'm enabling them. That's wrong. I'm supposed to love that person and love them as if you're like, love them with a sense of urgency. And so you love differently because, and then you travel through this world differently because you know you're a short timer. I can't believe that I'm going to be 1 year away from 60 pretty soon. That is old. 60? You know, I was talking to my son-in-law, who's a student ministry pastor up in Canada, and he's about Josh's age, you know, and I was talking about his lead pastor. He goes, he made comments about him like he was an old man. And then I realized, wait a minute, he's only a couple years older than me, that lead pastor. So what does Josh say about me being an old man? Dave is really old. He doesn't relate. He doesn't know what life's about. You know, it was about 100 years ago that he had kids. He doesn't know anything about it. You know, so. Well, we love differently, and we travel differently. Love is not something we say. It is something we show. It is an action that comes from the heart that's been changed by our thinking. And love is not a bartering system, a trading system. It's not, they did this for me, I do this for them. It's not a back and forth. Love is, I give myself even when I don't get anything back. There was a time where Cindy's siblings and us, we all got financial Christmas presents for each other. And we kept setting the limit, you know, way back then, because I am so old, it was $20. And then it was $25. And whenever I'd get my brother, well, one of my brother-in-law's birthday came along, I gave him $25. When my birthday came along, he gave me what? $25. Back and forth. I'm like, what is this? Let's skip the $25. It was not giving gifts. It was that same $25 going back and forth. What was the point of that? Some of you, I just saved you from doing birthday and Christmas gifts. You can thank me afterwards. What's the point of that? It is an action that comes from the heart. So the bottom line is this: different mind, different world. Different mind, different world. Think of your world and think it would change if you had a different mindset. Your close world, your family world, your business world, your church world, your community world, it would have ripple effects. It actually affects around the world because different mindset, different world makes us care about getting the good news out worldwide. Different. Are you different? Not different in a Napoleon Dynamite kind of way, but are you different? Are you growing in holiness? Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your word for us. We thank you for the way it speaks to our heart. We thank you for the realness of Peter. He went through all these things. He lived all these things. And we thank you deeply that he wrote this letter for people going through hard times trying to follow you. All of us have our own backstory. All of us have our own hard times. Would we see the joy of it because we know it equips us to follow you, point to you? Father, would you help us to be a people of holiness, separate unto you, different unto you, different like you are different, where we can be? And would it have an impact in other people's lives? I just can't end without saying, asking this, if there's anyone in this room that would like to have prayer, would like to discuss something, there will be people down front. I pray that you would remove the inhibition. And if there's somebody that would like to say yes to you and they need some guidance, that they would talk to the folks down front, talk to Josh or I or the person that brought them, or probably even a stranger could walk them through what it means to follow you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.